This is Getting to Know Your Bible, a program dedicated to the proclaiming of the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's Billy Lambert.
When I was a freshman in college, many years ago, there were 9 young preacher boys that decided we wanted to go somewhere during the summer and conduct a gospel meeting under a tent. We tried to find a town where it would be a good place to go, where the Church of Christ was not known, and we thought, well, maybe we can start a congregation of the church somewhere this summer. We selected a South Alabama town just north of Mobile called Chatham, Alabama. And there was a Gulf Oil gasoline station there in the forks of a road. We got permission to put our tent on a vacant lot behind that service station. Well, naturally, putting up a tent in a little small town like Chatham was going to create some curiosity. And there was this elderly gentleman who stopped and came onto the tent, and we were tired. We'd just erected the tent, and we were going to start preaching maybe the next night or two. And he asked us what we were doing and why we were doing it, and we've come here to preach and so forth. And the tent was in the forks of a road. And this is what the old man said. Boys, it doesn't make any difference which way you go. And he pointed to his left. He said, you can take that road and go to Mobile, Alabama. Then he pointed to his right and he said, you can take that road to go to Mobile, Alabama. It doesn't make any difference which road you take. You're going to get to the same place. I've thought about that. And our question that we want to ask God today, is that true? Should we be thankful for diversity in religion? Now that's our question we want to ask God. You know, in Judges, the 18th chapter, there were some 5 men who came to the house of Micah. And Micah had a Levite living with him, a Levite from Judah. And these men recognized that young man's voice, and they said, we want you to ask counsel of God whether or not the way we're going is going to be a prosperous way. And he said, yes, it's going to be a prosperous way. But I've thought about that statement. We want you to ask God. You see, if you have a question, You go to the best source to get your answer, and that's God. Sometimes you may start searching on the internet, find the answer to a Bible question. If you'll pick up your Bible and you'll start searching this book, that's the best place to find an answer. So the question that is raised, should we be thankful for diversity in religion? Stay tuned as we discuss that today. I'm Billy Lambert, and I'm the regular speaker on Getting to Know Your Bible. And we're delighted to have you watching today. Now, today on Getting to Know Your Bible, we offer a free Bible correspondence course. And I suggest to you that you're not going to be charged for it. It's free. We want you to have it. We want you to know more about it. So we're going to pause for just a moment.
To help you in your study of the Bible, we want to send you this Bible correspondence course. This course is non-denominational. It's based on the Bible. It's conducted by mail, and it's free. To receive this course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580. Or call toll-free 1-877-711-5214.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
In John, the 17th chapter, verses 20 and 21, Jesus is praying to his Father in heaven. And Jesus says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. I think that we would have to be less than truthful to say that there's unity in religion today. We might refer to it as diversity. Some might refer to it as disharmony. Some might refer to it as disunity. But whatever you call it, there seems to be a need for asking God to help us with this question. Should we be thankful for diversity in religion? Is God pleased with all the diversity that we see today? All of the division that we see today? Different groups wearing different titles and teaching different things. And I've talked to people who were so confused for that reason. They said, I'm so confused, Brother Lambert. I don't know what to believe. And you talk to one preacher and he says one thing. You talk to another preacher, they say something else. And I just don't know what to do. So what we need to do, I think, is ask God. Let me read a verse to you that shows you what some people did in the Bible, and I'm taking you today to the 17th chapter of Acts, and we're going to be looking at verse number 11. And these were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Paul had been in Thessalonica, and there were people that were stirring up trouble because of the teaching of the Apostle Paul. But this says they were more noble than people in Thessalonica. Well, what made them have this nobility? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They had the right attitude. They had the right heart. And listen to it now. Searched the Scriptures. Not just on Sunday morning while the preacher's up preaching. No. Searched the Scriptures daily. They were studying the Bible every day. If there is a question, you've got to study. You've got to search. Let God answer the question. Now, why were they searching the Scriptures? So they could argue with these men from Thessalonica? No. So they could argue with Paul and Silas? No. They were searching the Scriptures for this reason. Whether those things were so. In other words, whether Paul and Silas are telling them the truth. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing today if all of us who believe in God, believe in Jesus, believe in the Holy Spirit, and believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God would search the Scriptures, study the Bible to see what is true. In other words, if we have questions, ask God. Now let's go back to the verse I read earlier from John, the 17th chapter. And in John chapter 17, Jesus Christ is praying to his Father. And Jesus is not praying for a conference of rams. He's praying for unity of the flock. He said, Father, I want all of those who believe on me to be one. Why do you suppose he prayed that? Well, one of the reasons is God's distaste and disdain for division. In Proverbs 6:19, we're told one of the things that God hates is those that cause discord among brethren. And God wants us to be a united people. Listen to Psalms 133, verse 1. Behold, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to be dwell together in unity. We can dwell together in unity. We don't just dwell together and agree to disagree. Oh, no, we dwell together in unity. And there is a reason that Jesus said, I want my people to be one, united, that the world might believe. Friends, I am persuaded that one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons for unbelief in our world, reason people have been turned off to Christianity, turned off to God, turned off to Jesus, is because of all of the division in the religious world. They see all of that confusion, all of the different things being taught, and they throw up their hands in despair as if to say, what's the use in trying, because you never know what to believe? Yes, you can. If you got questions, remember, we can ask God. Ask God. Well, now, does God want us to be united today? I want to call your attention to a passage in the book of 1 Corinthians. And we're going to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, and we're going to be looking at verse 10. There were problems in the church at Corinth, for sure. And we are not going to get into all of the difficulties they had. But one of the problems they had in the church at Corinth was division. Now, I want you to notice verse number 10. Now, I beseech you. To say I beseech you is to sort of say, I'm begging of you. I'm begging of you. Paul had the authority of an apostle, and he could have said, I order you, or I command you. But no, Paul was not drunk on authority. Paul said, I beseech you. He said, I beseech you, brethren. I know he's writing to his Christian brothers and sisters. And he talked about it being the church of God up in verse number 2, under the church of God at Corinth. So he's writing to the church that existed in Corinth. He said, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't doing this on his own. What he's saying had the authority of Jesus Christ behind it. And if we're teaching something that does not have the authority or the approval of Christ behind it, we don't need to be teaching it today. So he said, I beseech you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he says, that you all speak the same thing. So evidently they weren't. One was saying one thing, another saying something contradictory to that. What do you suppose Paul would say if he lived in the 21st century and he wrote this letter that he wrote to the church of Corinth, and he were to write verse 10 to the religious world today, the so-called Christian world today? I think he would write and say, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Someone says, well, Brother Lambert, it's not possible to all speak the same thing. Is that true? Is that right? Now, some of you have your children in school. School just started where I live. And you have the children in classes like math and English and history and the like, sciences. All those are good classes. And suppose your child comes home from school, and the child was in the first grade last year and is in the second grade this year, and your child comes home, and your little girl says, you know, mother said, my teacher last year taught me wrong. Well, why is that? Because Last year, my teacher taught me that 1 plus 1 is 2, and 2 plus 2 is 4, and 4 plus 4 is 8. But today, when I went to school, my teacher told me to not pay any attention to what the teacher said last year, because it's different now. And 1 plus 1 is not 2 any longer, but it's 3. And 4 plus 4 is not 8 any longer, but it's 10. And the mother says, "Well, you know, honey, I'm going to school tomorrow, and we'll see if we can get that straightened out, because that's not right." You see, we understand a simple illustration like that, that when it comes to mathematics, that we speak of the same thing. We say the same thing. And we ought to say the same thing in everything. We ought not to be divided, that they ought not to have divisions among us. Now, as a matter of fact, that's what he says next. We'll talk about that in a moment. See, we ought to be saying the same thing. You take another subject. You take the subject of history. Here's a child that was in the fifth grade last year. Comes home, now in sixth grade, comes home. "You know, Dad," said, "last year we studied about the presidents, and last year we had to memorize all of the presidents up to the present one. And last year I memorized the presidents, and I said George Washington was the first president of the United States." And the father says, "Well, he was." Says, no, Dad. "Because the teacher I have this year in the sixth grade says to forget about what we were taught last year about George Washington being the first president, because he was not. He was not even a president at all." Well, the father gets alarmed, because you see, when it's historical facts, we see it alike. Why is it that when we come to the greatest book that has ever been written, that we cannot speak the same thing? Why we can't say the same thing? I've used this little illustration before, and let's get a scenario going here. Here's a man preaching to a group of five people. He's reading the Bible to them. And he wants to see how united these five people are. So he reads a Bible verse to them. For example, he reads John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." So he asks these five people, "How many of you believe that God gave his only Son because he loved the world? If you believe that, please raise your hand." All of them raise their hands. Question, are they divided or united? You say, well, they're united. Why are they united? Because they believe the same thing. They're speaking the same thing. All right, we get to another verse. This verse is Luke chapter 13, verse 3. "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." So I ask these five people, how many of you believe that to be saved you have to turn away from sin? That is, repent. And repentance takes place in the mind. We make up our minds that we're going to turn from the wrong and turn to the right. All five of them have their hands up. So I asked one of them, why are all of you in agreement? Says, well, that's just what the Bible teaches. The Bible says that. So you see, all of them are speaking the same thing when it comes to faith in Christ, when it comes to repentance of sin. I read another verse to them, and this one is Mark 16:16, where Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I ask them to raise their hand if they believe that faith in Christ and baptism is essential to their salvation. Four of them raised their hand. So I asked the one who did not raise his hand why he did not. He says, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but this is the way I see it, that you're saved by faith and then you're baptized. So as kindly and courteously as I know how, I ask him if he will step aside. I said, I have one more question to ask. And I want to read a verse to you from the 20th chapter of Acts in verse 7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, continued speech until midnight. How many of you believe that the disciples took the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Three of them have their hands up. One man doesn't have his hand up. So I ask him, why do you not have your hand up? He says, well, I know that's what that verse says, and I know that if you go back and study secular history, that some of the early writers, right after the beginning of the church, say that the early Christians did it every Sunday. But the way I see it, and the way I believe it, is you don't have to do it every Sunday. You can do it maybe quarterly or semi-annually, monthly. So as kindly as I know how, I ask him if he will step aside. Now you've got three men that are united. Why are they united? Well, we asked them a question, and who answered their question? We let God answer the question. The other two men did not let God answer the question. Who answered the question? They answered the question. They answered their own question. See, if I were to ask a question and I gave my own answer, I could be wrong. But when we allow God to answer the question, we know we've got the right answer. It is not what the Bible teaches that divides the religious world today. I want to repeat that. It is not what the Bible teaches that divides the religious world today. It is what it doesn't teach. It is the ideas, the thoughts, and the opinions of men that divide us. When we stop asking God for the answer to our questions, then we'll not have unity. But let's keep reading what Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Someone says, do you think it is possible for people to speak the same thing, all teach the same thing? My friend, if it were not possible, God would not have commanded it. See, God's not the author of confusion, but of peace in all the churches of the saints. Paul wrote that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 to this church that had so much division in it. God is not happy with division. God wants us to be united. Got questions? You have questions today? Ask God. Ask God for the answer. Now, I want to call your attention to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, starting in verse number 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor means you work at it hard. Verse 4, there's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith. Sometimes people say, we're thankful for all the different faiths we have today. The Bible talks about one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Should we be thankful for diversity in religion? Rather than praying to God and thanking God in prayer for diversity, let's pray and ask God to help us, oh God, to get together, to be united. And we can unite on the same foundation. And that foundation upon which we have unity is the Bible. One faith, one Lord, one baptism. That Lord is Jesus, and we're to confess Him as our Lord. And as a penitent, confessing believer, we're to submit to that one baptism, which is the baptism of the Great Commission, where Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age," or the end of the world. I want to urge you to just follow the teachings of the Bible. Get to know your Bible. Call for that Bible course today. It may be that I'm speaking to some heart right now has been thinking about their faith in Jesus and thinking about submitting to water baptism for the remission of their sins. And I want to urge you to do that. I want you to call us, and we'll get you in contact with someone who can baptize you for the remission of your sins. And so we want to help you in every way we can. I want to thank you for watching Getting to Know Your Bible today. And until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.
Hi there, I'm Ray Reynolds, the Marketing Director for Getting to Know Your Bible. I want to encourage you to check out Pray.com, a resource where you can read daily Bible readings or get daily prayer ideas. And there you can also now find Getting to Know Your Bible. You can search for Getting to Know Your Bible or for Billy Lambert and find resources available to you through podcasts and previous programs that we'd love for you to check out. We want to encourage you in your daily walk for God. We pray that God will bless you and use this resource to do so. Thanks for tuning in to Getting to Know Your Bible.
Getting to Know Your Bible has been presented by Churches of Christ. If you have a question about the church, or if you would like the location of a Church of Christ near you, or to receive the free Bible course, write to Getting to Know Your Bible, P.O. Box 314, Summerdale, Alabama 36580, or call 1-877-711-5214. Join us next time for Getting to Know Your Bible. Reach up and grow.